Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lauren and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show's for you. Hi, Lana. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hey, Laura. It's so nice to finally meet you online. Thank you very much for having me.
I'm so excited to chat with you. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I'm Lana Harper. I am the author of Payback's a Witch and the forthcoming From Bad to Cursed, which are both contemporary fantasy romances in the Witches of Thistle Grove series. Before those books, I was actually mostly publishing young adults. So I have two young adult contemporary fantasies and two young adult historical horror thrillers. So if you're interested in any bloody ladies, those are also out there. And then before all of that, I actually thought I was going to be a lawyer. I went to law school and got barred in Massachusetts and then kind of took a lateral turn into publishing and went and got my master's in publishing and writing at Emerson and then became a literary agent, which I did for 7 years. So I represented a number of other authors, many of whom are still writing. One of my lovely shining stars was one of my first clients. It was Emily Henry, who is now like the queen of rom-coms. So Em and I go way back, which is super, super awesome. And I left publishing right before Beach Read sold. So that was quite a moment. So that's about it for me. The other, I suppose, interesting thing about me is I'm actually not American. I'm from Eastern Europe. Mm-hmm. So I'm from former Yugoslavia. My mom is half Bosnian, half Croatian. My dad is a Montenegrin Serb from Slovenia. So I am an immigrant to the US and I've been here for 17 years now, 18 years almost.
Oh my gosh, I love this. I love this journey. Blood and water removed to publishing, being an agent, you know, Now being a published author. So what led you to write the book? You know, like what was the source like, you know, push that? You're like, you know what? I might as well do this myself too.
Oh, do you mean the first one that I wrote or do you mean Payback?
I think let's do the first one and let's talk about like, you know, moving to adult because that's a different market altogether.
Sure. So I actually, the first book that I wrote was in fact adult, and it was a sapphic vampire novel. And I wrote it back in, I want to say it would have been like 2010 or something like that, because I was still in law school and I did it on a dare from my mom because I was complaining so much about law school and how much I hated it. And I didn't want to do that. And she was like, well, do you want to do it? I was like, I don't know. I think I want to be a writer and work in publishing. And she was like, well, then shouldn't you maybe write a book? So I did that. I finished it and then kind of just let it sit for a number of years. And then I met my now agent and my very good friend, Taylor Haggerty at Emerson. So years later, when we were both agenting, she was like, remember that book you wrote in law school that you told me about? Like, can I read that? So I signed with her with that book, and that book didn't sell, which was fine. It was, you know, it was a debut. A lot of times those don't sell. And it was also just probably not the right time for LGBTQ fiction. It just wasn't quite the market that it is now. I'm so much happier with the way that the market looks now, especially when it comes to speculative fiction and how much more inclusive it is. So we shelved that one. And then my next book was Wicked Like a Wildfire. And that was a young adult book. I transitioned to young adult because that was what I was mostly representing at the time. Mm-hmm. So I figured, you know, write what you know. I knew I was very clear on what was selling at the time. And I really wanted to write a fantasy that was based in Montenegro because I wasn't seeing very much representative of Eastern Europe. And so I thought that would be really fun for me. And of course, like I write about witches almost exclusively. So that was a witch story as well. And then I wrote those two. I wrote two work for hire books for Abrams. Those were in the Lady Slayers series. So they were basically historical murderesses. One of them was Elizabeth Bathory, whom everybody knows as the Blood Countess, and is generally considered one of the most, if not the most prolific serial killers, female serial killers in history. And another one was about Catherine Monvoisin, who was another French serial killer who was also a fortune teller, had a black magic and poisoner ring in the Sun King's court, just all very scandalous stuff that I had not been aware of. And that was lovely. I really enjoyed writing those books, but I was very much feeling like my place was an adult. I wanted to make that leap. So I wrote an adult thriller. And just as we were revising it, my agent had been doing meetings in New York, and she kept hearing from editors, and this happens sometimes. It's like a weird zeitgeisty moment. No one can explain it. Everybody seemed to be looking for rom-coms with a witchy component. Mm-hmm. She was like, what if maybe you wrote one? And I was like, that would be sick, but I don't know what the premise would be. So what do you think? And so she and I went back and forth, sending each other like one line pitches. And she actually sent me pages of them. And one of the ones that she suggested was, what if you wrote John Tucker Must Die, but everyone is witches and two of the women fall in love with each other? And I was like, that's the one I want to write. So that's what I did. I started from there and I built everything else out from there. The Gauntlet of the Grove, the idea of a magical tournament, a vengeance pact, the four magical families, the entire town, everything came from that like little pearl of inspiration. So like all credit to Taylor, she started me down that path.
And now you're writing witches.
Yes. Yep.
Coming full circle. You started with witches and YA. Now adult is witches. So
pretty much. Yep.
Awesome. So talk to us about From Bat to Curse. Like, what is the elevator pitch?
The elevator pitch is, so we have a necromantic demon summoning witch who is thrown together with her arch nemesis, who is a green magic healer, to solve a mystery, which is a necromantic curse that was leveled against the green magic healer, Rowan Thorne's family, and is endangering all of their Beltane festivities. So the two of them have to get to the bottom of this curse, who cast it, kind of follow the trail of clues, and along the way discover a very strange, surprising attraction to each other that no one saw coming.
That's the joy of this romance novel, is just to put two people, unlikely characters, have a journey together and get there happily ever after.
Enemies to lovers is my favorite trope. So I was like, what if you did enemies to lovers, but one of them was a demon summoner and a necromantic witch, and the other one was like gentlemen on the streets, dirty in the sheets, super upstanding, incredibly noble hero. So that was really where that one came from. I loved writing it. I thought I was going to have a hard time with it because I liked Payback so much and I enjoyed Talia and Emmy so deeply. Mm-hmm. And then it was just the funnest. Like, I had the best time with the two of them and the banter and kind of the tension and the spice. So I really enjoyed writing it.
I love this. I love that you found like a niche. Like, it's exploding. Like, people are looking for these topical romances, and you're just in the trend with it. Mm-hmm. Anytime, having fun with it, which is the most important thing, because if the author has fun, then the reader's probably going to have fun too.
Exactly. You can really tell. I mean, it's really sort of, I used to call it when I was agenting, the sparkle element. And it was just when you could tell that the author was loving the story. Mm-hmm. And it also helped me, I think partly it helps me that my books are coming out fairly soon, one after the other. Payback came out in October. From Bad to Curse is coming out in May. The next one is going to come out in January. So they're all built around pagan Wheel of the Year holidays. So we're not like tied to Halloween. Mm-hmm. And then we have, I hope we have, a very compelling kind of extensive town that's magical and interesting, and people seem to be drawn to it anyway. So it's a lovely space, and it's one that I'm really enjoying inhabiting. So it's really great that readers are like, yes, I want to read more, because I'm like, yes, I want to write more.
I love that there's a book coming out in January 2023, which is very exciting. So readers can actually have something to look for and a close by. So
There'll be one in May, there'll be one in January, and like, fingers crossed, there'll be more after that. I can't make any promises, but things are looking good. So I think we're getting there.
Oh, this is very exciting. So what are you currently reading?
I have been on kind of a demon book kick lately because partly because, again, we're talking about a demon summoning sorceress and from bad to cursed. And I'm also writing like a little piece for tor.com about my favorite demon summoning books. I was revisiting a couple of favorites. So I just reread The Good Demon by Jimmy Cajolius, mm-hmm. which is technically a young adult book, but man, is it so good and so creepy and so gorgeously written. Like, it could very easily be adult and like, you know, when there's like shades of True Detective, but it's basically about this girl who had a demon. She was possessed by a demon whom she really loved, who really helped her cope with this very difficult kind of upbringing that she had in this like fairly isolated rural southern town. And she loved her demon and did not want it to be exorcised. And then the book is basically her trying to get her demon back, coming to terms with what her demon really is, ramifications for the town and for kind of humanity, like what it means to be, there's almost like an analog to addiction that's happening throughout that's really, really fascinating. And Jimmy deals with it in this incredibly beautiful and thoughtful way. It's an amazing book. It's almost like I already, you know, have no problem suspending my disbelief, but I'm like, dude, do you know something about demons that the rest of us don't? Because this reads like something that could really happen and is not, you know, not inconceivable in any way. And then for the same reason, I recently read Come Closer by Sarah Gran, which is a woman, and this is adult fiction, and she's a successful architect, happy marriage, and she becomes possessed by like functionally kind of like a sex demon. And it's fascinating because as you read it, you see the very slow creep of like, well, I can't tell how much is this just me asserting myself as opposed to like an external force that is slowly creeping its way inside me. And there's an element of weird realism to it where it's like, I could see how that could happen to me. And that's what makes it incredibly uncomfortable and also very compelling to read. Totally different tack. Delilah Green doesn't care. Amazing. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite books that I've read recently by Ashley Herring Blake. That's lesbian, or I guess bisexual lesbian romance. It's really beautiful. It's like, you know, girl comes home to her estranged family and falls in love with one of the friends of her kind of mean stepsister who used to be a cool girl who kind of ostracized her back in the day, and then has a lot of kind of like familial conflict, like reinterpretations of how things really were back in the day. And it's like both cozy and not, and very, very sexy. Like, it's one of the hottest rom-coms that I've read recently. And I really love like very, very spicy sapphic rom-coms. That's wonderful. And then totally different bent. I just read The Verifiers by Jane Peck, which is super cool. It's like literary suspense, I want to say, but the premise is Claudia Lynn is this detective obsessed millennial who is working for kind of like a detective agency that allows users of dating apps to verify the identities of the people that they're talking to within these like online worlds. So it's set tentatively like in the early 21st century, but you can't tell exactly because it seems like these apps have like really evolved beyond what we're using now. Like, we're not talking Tinder and Hinge. We're like talking stuff that's like a lot more elaborate. So it's really interesting to see her navigate this world, play it through like a detective, and then also kind of discover all of the problems within her own family, the things that she hasn't been facing up to. It's gorgeous writing. It's a really compelling, interesting mystery, like very genre bending, which is my favorite thing. So I highly recommend that to everybody.
Oh my gosh, I love these recommendations you have in The Verifiers. That one sounds so freaking good.
It's great. Read it right now. It's fantastic. I love it so much.
I'm adding that to my TBR. So this is awesome. So tell us where we can find you online.
I'm mostly on Instagram. I am at Lana Lyte on Instagram. So it's at LanaLyte. I'm on Twitter, but much less so. And there I'm Lana Popovic Lit. And then my website is lanapopovicbooks.com. I'm super, super happy to engage with readers or just like anyone who wants to chat. So I have a contact form on my website. I check my DMs on Instagram like all the time. So any kind of drop note, like whatever you want to talk about with me is super cool. And I get very excited hearing from people. So I'm very available.
I love this. Thank you, Lana, for being the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was super fun.
If you enjoy this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for women's audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for Libre FM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.